Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 101. We're into the second 100 of Crosshairs Radio and our final show of the 2017 year. Final show of 2017, period. Not the final show. I was going to say season. That's incorrect. Cyclocross does not end until, well, almost March. So we still got a lot to cover. It's practically only the midway point for cyclocross. But on today's show, we have a couple items here for you. First off, we're going to have an abbreviated TDDTIE. It's a pretty loose one. They've been getting loose lately. This one will set the bar even higher. But our main objective of getting together for this show was to announce the contest winner, the person who on our dime, not really our dime, on a Reno CX Nats dime, they were generous enough to give us this huge prize pack, which included a two-night stay and free entry into one race for the upcoming Reno Cyclocross Nationals. We're gonna announce who won that contest. It was an Instagram contest. If you go to hashtag TDDTIE, you can see all the people who entered, and you, after the show, will know who our winner is. So that's really exciting. And once again, we thank Kobe Rowe and the folks at Reno CX Nats and the Silver Legacy Resort, and also USA Cycling for making it possible for us to help somebody get to Nationals. Also on this show, I have a conversation with USA Cycling President Derek Bouchard Hall on here. We talk about the new national team. We talk about funding. We talk about cyclocross in general and USA Cycling. It was a nice conversation from last week in Colorado. So we'll get to that after we get to our abbreviated TDDTIE, and we'll get to that after I tell you about Health IQ, which is a life insurance company, which you've heard of me talk about a lot. But basically, this is a company that isn't going anywhere. They've been in the news a lot lately. They run this company like it's a tech company. They have a lot of capital coming in there. They've raised $81 million. So they're going to be around. They're a great choice for you. And the reason that they are raising all this money is they are doing life insurance in a different way. And one of the main things that they are looking for, other than the traditional profile of who a good risk is, they know that people who live healthy lifestyles, people who are vegans, people who are into yoga, all these things that may have been frowned upon by corporate America in the past, they say, hey, these are great risks. And in that is also people who ride their bikes and exercise a lot and cyclists in general. And you can go to healthiq.com/CXHairs. You take a short quiz. They're going to contact you if you qualify from your quiz answers and some other information that you give them. And then they're going to be able to give you a lower rate on life insurance. It's going to save you money. Life insurance, one of those things you should be looking into if you haven't already. So healthiq.com/CXHairs. Also, while you have some time off here over the holidays, go to wideanglepodium.com. Go check out all the shows. You're getting all those cool gifts for Christmas. Give a little back. Go and donate to the podcast network. We would love to have you as a member. I think we've built a great community over there, and we are continuing to do so. You can check out all of the shows on the network. You know, Bike Shop CX has been killing it. Also, Slow Ride Podcast, always fun to. They're good for a pro cycling and cyclocross laugh. So go check them out. Also, we got to hang out. Lots of really great shows. Consummate Athlete, just amazing information on there. Go check them out too. Go check them out first. Go listen to Consummate Athlete. But wideanglepodium.com, click on the donate button and become a member. Let's go join the TDDTIE crew and give away a trip to Reno CX Nats. Oh, hi, there is recording. Scott, do that thing in the beginning.
All right, we're back for another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe. With me, as always, on the right, Mr. David Palin.
Hey, good afternoon, viewers.
Afternoon? It's 8 p.m.
He's yeah, when they're assuming... listening to it. When yeah. they're listening to it, it's afternoon.
It's 8 p.m. It's almost midnight. And, of course, with us on the left, Bill Shiken.
Hey, good morning. I'm specifically talking to the to the person with their coffee, with their coffee, who's scrolling through Twitter and listening to us at the same time at breakfast.
Nice. Good, nice. Talking guys, we're you. Here. I think we had a contest, right?
Yeah.
That's our main reason for meeting this evening.
This is like bonus coverage that everyone gets.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not just the bonus, the normal bonus.
We need to do some bonus. This is where Mr. David Powell starts laughing. We need to do some bonus content while we're out in Reno.
Well, see, yeah, Mr. David Palin laughs because all he has to do is show up. So it's easy to be, when that's all you got to do.
I have to bring my mic.
When that's all you've got to do, it's easy to say, oh, we should be recording more, you know. So anyways.
He's got to bring, that is true.
He's got to bring
his, though, Dave. His pipes and his wit and his.
That's it.
And his intimate knowledge of the new USA Cycling Team program. Dang, yeah. You are impressive, dude.
I know it, but I know where the typos are. Give me a call, Derek.
So, all right, Bill. This is your brainchild. How are we going to do this? Are we going to announce the finalists?
Yeah.
First?
So, yes. So, first off, for folks that don't know, and if all goes to plan here, I think this is going to. We are right now talking after. We've listened to me talking with the president and CEO of USA Cycling. They may be coming up, or they may have just happened. That's all to be determined before you actually listen to this. You all know something that Scott, David, and I don't know at this point in time, where those interviews are located.
We don't even know where the.
I may not even have recorded them for all I know. I haven't looked on the recorder. There may be only two of them. This may be the only thing, and people just think I'm insane. All of these are possibilities. This is the agile world we live in.
Well, you know, that happens because on the show, we just posted a Bike Shop CX today, and there's one part that I was going to leave in, and I told David later in the show I was going to leave in, but then I ended up editing it out. So we're talking about something that didn't happen in that show, too. So.
But we did get together here at whatever point in the show this is to mainly to talk about this contest that we announced just a week ago in episode 100, and it was, because of our friends at CX Nats, at Reno CX Nats, and especially to Kobe Rowe, and I believe the Silver Legacy Resort, and also USA Cycling. All of them made it possible for us to give away to some lucky viewer a two-night stay and at Cyclocross Nationals, and also free entry into a race. Just pretty sweet.
That is really cool of them to do that.
It pays to procrastinate. That's what you've learned on Crosshairs Radio.
That's lesson number one.
You didn't even have to wait till our NPR Begathon.
No.
Right?
No.
And what we asked people to do is to... We're getting. I put down. I already released who the finalists were, and one of them already has responded. What does that mean? Anyway, getting ahead of myself. We asked folks if you would listen to episode 100. You know that we asked folks to go on Instagram to post a photo. It was pretty wide open. Post a photo of you doing cyclocross, and you had to tag TDDTIE and Reno CX Nats, and which you can still. Go ahead and follow at Reno CX Nats. It will keep you up to date on all the goings on in a couple of weeks. And then also, what else did we need them to? Oh, also follow that. Yeah, those were the three things. And then we were going to pick our finalists and then choose a winner. And at that time, I said that there was going to be a fourth judge. That fourth judge is going to be random.org.
Nice.
So what we are going to do is Mr. David Pound, Scott,
yes, sir,
and myself are all going to pick one of the photos posted, tagged TDDTIE and tagged Reno CX Nats that we think should be a finalist. We're going to pick one wild card that we can all agree on, and then we're going to throw them into random.org and see who our winner is.
Love it.
Sounds good. I have to say that these were all great entries. There was one, I think, that we all agreed didn't meet all the criteria. One that initially didn't meet all the criteria, but then caught himself. But what great entries we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And it's a lot of redemption stories in here. I think that
exactly.
those
I think that was
fancy.
The biggest theme.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
and
yeah,
go ahead.
No, you,
I was just going to say, and bonus points for people that put, David and my Instagram names in as well. That's bonus.
That
right
always
there.
Makes them yeah. happy, guys. If you do.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
I have a fragile ego.
Well, it shows you're paying attention.
Yep.
You pay attention to the show. So, all right. Well, let's announce. Well, so we each picked one finalist and then we picked a wild card finalist, right?
Yes.
Yes.
These are worth going to, too. If you just, you can actually now follow a hashtag on Instagram. I believe that is a new feature. So you all can go look at TDDTIE and see the photos. There's some good ones in here. There's a couple funny ones as well. We got a cameo from the guest that you are either going to hear in a little while or just heard, Derek Bouchard Hall. He's in one of these. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good stuff. So, Scott.
Yes.
Let's start with you. Yep.
All right. So my finalist is going to be, drum roll, is FB Hitty at picture of the Beak and Skiff Apple Orchards. It looks like a single speed CX race. He's charging right at the camera. He's got the full on beard going. So, you know, again, bonus points for that. And he tagged both me. Not that wasn't required, but I gave you bonus points for that, for tagging both me and Mr. David Palin. So, yeah, he's my pick for the finalist. He says he drives an hour back and forth to work each week or each day. And that's when he listens to the show. And I think it's a cool picture. So there we go.
All right. Awesome. He was the one that left a comment. So right now, he said, let's see. I said TDDTIE finalist. And he said, what does that mean?
And, see, he's paying attention. He's anxious. Yeah.
And then he responded.
Tell him it means you're one of
then
four.
Then he responded a minute later. You guys are killing me. And I'm just going to respond. We are deciding your fate. Right now. Nope. Except of course with my thumbs it says we're deciding your fare right now. All right, David.
Oprah.
What you got? No, let me fit. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I'm just doing some paperwork here. You go.
Okay. So I went with, interestingly, someone that did not include Scotty D and I. But I went with D.P. Palmer with his another redemption story. Looks like off camber, looks like Hartford, I would say, based on the dirt coming down and going up. D.P. Palmer with, can I go to Reno CX Nats, please? I need a redo from Hartford where my race is summed up in this picture of me riding over my own foot.
I like to call that the modified Vanderpool Van Aero.
Yeah, right.
You know, he had to play both
solo.
Sides of that, right?
He is basically doing the whole reenactment with just one man.
Yeah.
It's the Van Aero Vanderpool deconstructed.
Yes.
Very modern one man show.
For that alone, I think, yeah, that is a worthy entry for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations, DP Palmer. You have moved on to the finals.
Bill.
In possibly the same area that we saw that last photo, and this was just by happenstance. One of the lasting memories of Hartford was the Masters mudslide.
Oh, yeah.
That we all saw photos of. It then became a snow, right? Didn't it? Wasn't it like a snow hill there for one day? They eventually closed it off and didn't race there. But for the early week Masters racers, it was, you know, it was basically get on your butt and slide down the hill, and then it was bowling pins at the bottom.
Yeah.
So that is my pick. L squared 86 says last year I drove 900 miles in search of 50 plus glory, but spelled B-U-T-T. I'm guessing T-D-D-T-I-E. Am I right, CX Airs? How about helping me with my dream at redemption at Reno CX Nat? So, yeah, and it's there a nice grainy kind of out of focus photo, which I dig as well, almost like a screen cap or something. Yeah, so everything about it I like. So,
L-squared 86 is him?
Making it. All right.
Oh, I can see which one is him because he tagged himself in that picture. Indeed.
The one in the center on his
in the center. Yep. Yeah. Laying flat on his back with his bike on his belly. With a guy beside him to his left, our right on the by looking at the picture, who is running up the hill looking to get back to where his bike is stuck in the mud.
And then above it looks like there's a guy either stuck in the fence or just like hanging on for dear life and doesn't want to go down the hill.
Yeah, that's probably
he was wishing that they had the rope, taped on the side that he could actually hold on to. It seems more secure when you get caught in it.
Wait a minute, that's Bruce. No, never mind.
And then we were talking about Sean Bob for so long beforehand.
We decided to include him
as our wild card. Sean Bob says, okay, CX Airs, Mr. David Palin, Bike Shop CX. So here's the question for you, Scott Diedenbach.
Yes.
If people, what is your preferred account now?
Oh, man.
Oh, I guess Instagram, you've just changed to Bike Shop CX, so that's it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
How about Twitter?
Instagram is just that.
Twitter, yep. You got like 7 of these things.
No, I just got 2. Well, I do have 3, but one's personal that I don't do any cycling stuff on at all.
Got it.
That's kind of
that one's out. But so people, it just comes down to Bike Shop CX or Cyclocross Net. I stick with Cyclocross Net.
Yeah, either one is fine. Okay. It's just I got so many followers that are on one or the other. It's hard to just eliminate one, so I just kind of keep them both going. So.
They need like a merge option.
But a lot of cycling people do follow me and tag Scott Diedenbach on Twitter account. So, but that's really just a personal account that I don't do. I don't post any bike stuff to that one. So.
Okay.
All right.
I have one of those too.
Yeah.
All right. I don't post anything to it. My season was coming along nicely. Then I had a bad knee injury the first day of Cross Crusade, forcing me out of racing all this season. After taking a couple weeks off, then doing PT on my knee for a few months, I've bounced back, but now I'm ready to race as the season is all but over. I would love the opportunity to give nationals. I want to do this sort of like Casey Kasem. Can I change this? I would love the opportunity to give nationals a shot. I didn't get a chance as much else this year. TDDTIE, thanks and love what you do. And for all the others curious what I'm talking about, go listen to CX Hairs Radio app 100. This photo by Ben Guernsey. All right.
And props for him also for giving kudos to the photographer.
Yes. That's
That's crazy. Always good.
Always There's good. A possible either stake or finger on the lens as well, which I enjoy. Okay. It's good. You need foreground. You need blobby foreground. That makes the photo better. So, all right. So we are.
And one thing you'll notice in that paragraph, because I'm going to have to kick it out here.
Yeah.
Is he's missing one of the key ingredients of entry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that came farther into the conversations. This is why.
You got to add it in later.
Yeah. Yeah. So you let him know.
You got to edit it in.
You're so diplomatic, you know, when you're not talking, Mr. David Palin.
I can't tell you how long I went typed, erased, because I didn't want to tell him what it was missing. Because that I felt was an unfair advantage for me to coax him along.
And then he said he listened again. So, you know, more stats. So right there.
Here we go.
Extra download.
All right. Man.
Yeah.
I think we just talked ourselves into Sean Bob, not the one that any of the three of us picked. But I think we just talked ourselves into it.
All right, so here it is. We got Fibahitty, Scent, Sean Bob, DP Palmer, and was it L squared?
Yeah.
Either L squared or I squared?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It matters to him, but...
Hey, now I got to go find it. Oh, there's a picture of Mr. David Palin on there. Let's see.
When was that picture from, David?
When was it taken or when was it put up there?
I think I squared. I squared. We're going I squared.
Okay.
I squared 86.
All right.
That's probably, you know, when he graduated high school, too. But, oh, he did. Yeah, 50 plus. Thank God. I was like, that's not going to be, that's going to be his birth date. he's a youngin for the 50 plus. He's right, he just snuck in there.
Yeah,
one of these kids. Okay, all right. Random
.org. this suspense is I hope we're really building the suspense. That's what this is all for, right?
Yeah.
How do you get from I squared 86 to he's a young one for 50 plus? I'm just kind of curious.
Because he graduated high school in 86.
Oh, okay.
So I graduated in 85. I just turned 50 this year. So he's 1 year younger. So his racing age is probably 50.
It's all interesting deductions you made that 86 was the year he graduated high school.
We're probably completely wrong.
It makes sense.
His birthday is August 6th.
No.
Or that. Or June 8th.
All right. F.B. Hitty. Or F. Biddy and the H is silent. Sean Bob.
What is all this? What are you typing so much?
I think you put them into the randomizer.
Don't you just have to put like 1 through 4 in the randomizer?
I'm putting in the names.
Okay. I've never used this. I mean,
squared.
And it's only semi-random, let's be honest.
Yeah, right.
I am part one, enter list names. I am screen capping that. You'll hear it. There it is, screen capped. Part two, go. I guess I should, I could record this.
This is such great.
Hang on.
You know what it is? And Scotty D, while he does that, you and I can talk a little bit.
There you
go. Because this is taking this little piece here, the 30 minutes or so we're going, is the length of the women's race this past weekend.
Do we want to get started on that 38 minute race, guys? Oh man.
Yeah.
Is the men's race ever too short? Do we ever have that happen? Can you think of a time? I don't know if I can.
I can't. I have seen it be over very quickly in a couple of laps, 3-4
I've
laps.
I've seen it over too. Yeah, a lot. So.
But it continues.
But the most important thing of the women's race for the World Cup in Namur is Evie Richards.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. You know,
what a performance.
Yeah, and the length of that race should not take away from all the props that she deserves for her performance coming from deep in the rows.
Yeah.
Race her way through to a win. It was amazing.
I think if the race is another lap, she just wins by more.
Yeah.
I don't think she was like wearing out. I think she was still charging. Now, not to take anything away from her, but she did not race on Saturday. So Katie Compton and Brammier both raced the day before, but I don't think that would have mattered a bit. So that was something to watch. That was really good.
Yeah.
And what a that women's field was just stacked, man. PFP, Yolanda Neff, I mean, what a great field, too. It was awesome. It was awesome. So I'm very anxious to see what happens this weekend, too. So, and then the men's race was a runaway, but not the usual runaway that we've been seeing all season.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was not.
And so that throws a big question. And how sick is Vanderpool? How sick was he? Did it affect him that much? Was that just part of Wout coming back after his training block with Stephen Hyde?
Right. I think that Stephen gave him some pointers and Stephen helped him along.
They must have given each other pointers because Hyde had one of his best races with 11.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Guys.
So, yeah. Are we ready?
We have a winner.
I'm like on the edge of my seat here. Are you going to tell us who it is? Or?
I am. I have it recorded too, I hope.
All right.
I don't know how to stop my recording. This is the best. All right. Same as DDDDI disaster. All right.
That's a new hashtag. But does describe many of our shows.
We're going to put that on the desktop. Save. Okay. In fourth place, I squared.
Oh.
Nice. I.
That was a great effort.
Your third place.
It was close. It was really close, though.
Yeah.
Third place finisher on the podium. FB Hitty.
Oh.
Hitty.
We're coming down to two.
So who's left?
Who's left? Sean Bob and DP Palmer.
So you just got to tell us who the winner is then, right?
The winner is. The person who gets to go to Reno on us for two nights and also gets a free entry is DP Palmer.
Yeah, baby, I picked him. I knew his game was strong. I knew his game was strong. That's my man.
Well-deserved. Well-deserved by any of those four.
Yeah, congratulations to everyone.
Awesome job. Yeah, and thank you everyone that entered. That's cool. We know it was a last minute thing, and it would take a lot to actually get there and do that. So thanks
if
everybody
you still
for
go,
having
if,
fun.
If the other three still go, you can pick up your Constellation prize from Mr. David Palin. We will email you his hotel room in Reno.
Not a problem.
No, because it's the same room as me, and that.
That's what I was saying.
And your consolation prize will be a Bike Shop CX sticker.
All right.
I have. We can get on my Bike Shop show, the old Bike Shop show, limited edition retro T-shirt.
Three of them? You got three of them?
We do.
We have a box of them.
Nice. All right. There you
with
go.
With very little sealant on them.
But if somebody, if one of those people, one of the three people do actually want one, they need to contact you, Mr. David Palin, and tell you what size to bring.
Indeed,
otherwise, we're not bringing it. So there you go. All right. What a contest. Man, that was edge of your seat excitement, guys.
I almost think like it's, you know, it's funny. And I knew this was going to happen. We all knew this was going to happen. We're like, oh, you can just talk for 30 minutes. We'll get this out of the way in the first five. And then we talk about the races for a while and then it won't be that much. And what are we? We're at 25 minutes and we got our winner.
Right.
All
right.
Normal TDDTIE.
Well, we kind of talked about racing. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Bill?
No, you all covered it, I think.
What'd you think of Evie Richards' performance?
I think it's awesome. I think this is sort of a crossover event for me since she is now full time on the other team or for the mountain bike team that I work for.
Yeah. So
perfect. great win for Trek Factory Racing, World Cup win, just not in mountain biking.
And man, speaking of mountain bike, could you see those mountain bike skills coming through in that race?
Yeah.
Oh. Jeez Louise. So yeah, it was amazing.
And that's
so.
The thing. And it reminded me of Lenzerheide. same kind of conditions. If you can see, if you want to go back and find clips of that cross country XCO World Cup from last year, it was slimy and really technical and slippery, and you needed, you could see where those skills transfer over really well. And not a ton of climbing, at least compared to mountain biking. So I think it's the kind of thing that she really can just crush.
And if you get a chance, watch, I don't know if it was a mistake by her pit crew or what. Does her dad pit for her or something?
I didn't see who was in there. I'm going to guess it was GB people.
Okay, because her last pit exchange, if you get a chance, watch that. Watch her get on that the new bike, and it looks way overgeared. Yeah. She just gets on, and it's like her legs just kind of stop.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, well, I mean, if it's,
you
know,
mountain biking, you don't switch bikes ever.
Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Oh, maybe they're not used to giving her a new bike, because that thing looked way overgeared when she got it. So anyways, it was just kind of an interesting thing. And also, you know, since I talk about the pits a lot, man, did you see the power washers that were across? You had to cross the course to get to the power washers from the pit.
And they were spraying. I mean, that overspray was all over the course.
Now
too.
That adds excitement, man.
Yeah. It does. That is not in the specs for a World Cup race.
Man, oh man. I can't imagine. I'm like your eighth or ninth trip to the power washer. You're tired. You're carrying a bike and you have to cross the course. Oh,
that's why all races should be 50 minutes. So the mechanics have one less trip to the power washer.
There you go. I agree. That's proof if I've ever heard it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bill, you've either played or you're going to play those, the interviews you got. So
yeah.
Are we wrapping this bad boy up?
I think we are. Have a happy holidays, everyone. Who knows if this is even getting up before that happens? It will. I'll get it up this weekend. So
All right.
It will be before Christmas. It will be after Hanukkah. I am certain of that.
It'll all be right. See, now it's over already.
Either that or it's going to be really early.
Yeah.
And if people want to get in touch with you, Bill, social media.
They can do that at C... not social media. Well, my phone number is 202. we do have a we do have a phone number.
He's coaxing you along there.
Social media at CX Hairs on Twitter, on Instagram, at Venmo. Thank you so much to our one Venmo fan who keeps sending us money.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's just like awesome. I said it as a joke, but he keeps doing it, and I love it. So thank you very much. I'm going to pull up his name while I vamp here for the next couple seconds. 405-CX-HAIRS. That's where you can call and leave us voicemail. You can also write the show at feedback@CX-HAIRS. And, I think that's it. Racer Gibson. Thank you very much, Racer Gibson, for your continued support on Venmo at CXRs.
That's amazing. David.
Yes, I'm at Mr. David Palin on Twitter and on Instagram.
All right. And you can find me, Scott Diedenbach, at Bike Shop CX on Twitter, at Bike Shop CX on Instagram, and also at CyclocrossNet on Twitter. Any one of those three works. All right, guys. I don't know if we probably won't do another show until we see each other at Nationals, will we?
Yeah.
Is this going to be the last show of 2017, Bill?
I think it may be. Yeah.
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 That's what it was for Bike Shop CX when I posted it today. So, and speaking of, you know, you're talking about support. I figured it out. We did 17 Bike Shop CXs this year. If you were a $5 a month subscriber, it means you paid $30. It means less than $2 an episode.
Which is so fitting for our show.
Yeah, that's about,
$2.
$2.
Thank you, Lane Meyer.
So thank you, everybody that has done that this year, subscribe to any of the shows on Wide Angle Podium. That's awesome. So, all right, guys, we will see you at Nationals if I don't talk to you before that.
Bye, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Now, we'll see you before New... Oh, no, we won't. We'll see you before... never mind. We'll see you.
All right, there you have it. Always great to chat with Scott and Mr. David Palin. That was it. Last TDDTIE for the year, but don't worry, we'll be back soon. Okay, we're going to get a little more serious now and have a nice conversation with the president of USA Cycling, Derek Bouchard Hall. I'm not going to waste any more time setting this up. We're just going to roll the tape. We're going to do that right now.
We're here today because it's this announcement of the national team. Probably when people hear this, it will have been a week ago that this all went down.
I hope they will have heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, that's the kind of saying that's really one of the big objectives here, to have people hear about it, because
absolutely,
that's the goal, is to sort of reestablish this idea of a over-encompassing national team for all of the disciplines and what that means and how you become part of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's there's a lot of reasons why we're doing it, but it's an exciting development for us, and we think it'll be very positive for the athletes that are involved. It'll enable us to give them better support, be very clear on what we can provide them in a way that we haven't done before. It'll help us promote the sport. It'll help us bring additional resources that go back to help them. I hope that for some of them, it may actually help them with their own personal sponsors, being able to say that they are formally on the USA Cycling national team. We hope it also clarifies the pathway for athletes who are maybe not at this level now, but want to be, to say, well, what do you need to do to get to that level, and what do you get when you get there? Something to aspire to. And I hope it's something good for fans. I hope fans can see, these are the athletes who are at the very top of major international competition across the disciplines. You can go to our website. You can see it. It provides some clarity about who is the best in the world for USA Cycling. And in some cases, people know it because they follow their discipline. In other cases, they don't, because they don't know the other disciplines. But this is a clear marker. If you're on this team, you are at the very top of the world in your particular discipline or event. So we're pretty excited about this development.
That's actually, that's an angle that I didn't really think about. I don't think was discussed, mainly because it was a lot of media that was here today. What is the media component out there? You say you can go to the website. Is there going to be a separate push to make sure that these stories are out there and are being told?
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out. I mean, the reality is USA Cycling as an organization, marketing and communications is not something that we're really good at, but it's something that we want to be good at. And we have incredible stories in our sport. We have incredible athletes doing incredible things and the backgrounds from where they came. And we want to get better at telling those stories and help people understand what is going on in our sport. And this is one component of that. First, you need to have the team. And then what we do with it, hopefully, is far more than simply names on a website. But it's actually something that we can use broader for a basis for storytelling. We'll see how it evolves over time. But it is part of the calculus of why we do it, is that it enables us to have something that's a clear communicator to our community about, again, who are the best people in the United States. So we're hoping we can do a lot with this.
It seems like since you were in this position, the sort of the top level goal maybe has shifted. It seemed like recruitment was a big goal, and try to make USA Cycling something among everybody who rides a bike. That's important. That seemed like it. And then, so I was a little surprised to actually see this big athlete push now, and especially since it had laid dormant for so many years. I mean, was this always part of the agenda, or how did this sort of come about to do this and do it now?
Yeah, well, USA Cycling does have this sort of dual mission of developing the sport of cycling at all levels and achieving international success in the elite end. And they're related. It's part of the ecosystem of cycling to go from grassroots all the way to an Olympic champion. That they are related. But the reality is what it requires you to do to focus on helping athletes to compete at the World Championships and the Olympics is different than serving the needs of the amateur racing community. And our organization is pretty much structured differently. We have an elite athletics organization. organization, and then we have everything we do on the amateur side. And when you're talking about recruitment, yes, we've had a big focus about on our amateur side. We've broadened our mission to include enthusiasts. We're doing things like replacing all of our IT. We're trying to get better at marketing. We'll put more resources into how we govern and manage amateur racing. I think we're making progress there. I wish we were going faster, but we are making some progress there. But that was sort of the big goal on that side, on the amateur racing side, is how do we become a better steward of amateur bike racing and expand the tent when we know the sport is evolving? That was a big goal for us. But on the other side, it wasn't as though we were sitting there saying, well, we're happy with what we're doing. We also wanted to have a big transformative goal. And it came around kind of two sides, which is one is, how do we get more international success? How do we have our American athletes do even better? And this was this goal of getting to 7 or more medals at the Olympics. Although there's more goals than that, as I think we spoke about earlier today with the national team launch. But that's the core one. But also just getting better at the administration of elite athletics. We face significant challenges with selection to events and who gets those spots and who gets access to the national team. We want to get far better in how we administrate those things so that people have more confidence that we are allocating our resources, which are for the entire American community. They should be allocated fairly and justly. We want to give more confidence that we're doing that. So that's the big push on the elite athletics side. So you're right. We basically have two big things we're doing in the organization. We're trying to change and improve the way we're doing amateur side of the sport and our support for amateur side of the sport, but we also have these big athletic goals. And it all comes down to, we are really a dual mission organization and we have big goals for both sides.
I'm just going to pick out one little thing from early on in that reply and just let you talk down from the cliff all of my cyclocross friends out there with the IT rollout and them trying to get their licenses.
Sure.
And
yeah,
having issues with it. Where's it at? What's the sort of timeline to straighten out any issues that may have occurred in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's been incredibly challenging for us. We had been using a system which was a real problem, you know, due to underinvestment and some decisions about doing it all in-house. We had an IT system that's just crumbling underneath us, and we're replacing all of it. And that has not gone as well or as fast as we'd like it to. Last year, when licenses were released onto the new membership system, we had a lot of challenges with data, getting the data out of the old system into the new system. So people came out and they got their licenses, and oh wait, you know, I worked really hard for 5 years to become a Cat 2, and you're telling me I'm a Cat 4. And we understand how frustrating that was. We think those are behind us. We're now in the 2018 membership year, and that's going far more smoothly. We really had to deal with that big data transfer once that's passed us. There's more things that we're releasing right now. We just launched our new website that is out there. We still need to do our new permitting system for race directors. We still need to do an online registration system. Those things are coming. We're basically doing piece by piece. Our first big release was that membership system, and it did not go as smoothly as we had anticipated, but it seems to be getting past it. And by the end of this year, it's all going to be replaced, and we're going to have a much better system. But, you know, on behalf of USA Cycling, I apologize to anybody who dealt with the frustrations of the transfer to the old system. Hopefully this year is going much better, and everything we're seeing is it's much better. But last year, we know, was something that was quite painful for us to know that we were in the process of trying to make everything better for everybody. Actually, we're making it worse, and that was painful for us. But I think we're going to get past that.
Okay, just a quick little add on to that, because I know that this has been the issue. I know this may not be something you were dealing with. I know it was out there, and maybe you can just sort of, the auto renewal of licenses seemed to be an issue that people didn't know was coming, and I'm assuming that they should have maybe emailed something else.
Yeah, well, it was a decision that we made to use an auto renewal process, which is a very common membership-based process that's used today. That's something that we implemented last year, but we're now just hitting those auto renewals. And there was the option when you did it to select out of the auto renewal, many people did that. Many people wanted to do it, and I think some people missed it. This year, what we did, we had two emails to notify people it was coming, and then the auto renewal came. And there's a small portion of our community who didn't want to have their license renewed. And we've really staffed up in customer service. Anybody who doesn't want it, we immediately refund their money. Okay. There's no questions asked.
Good.
Or debates.
Yeah.
But it is a commercial decision that we made to increase our retention rate of memberships by implementing an auto-renewal process. It's been immensely successful for us in increasing the retention rate. We think it's still early days. But we already have a very large portion of our membership, over half, signed up for 2018. Normally, this time of year, we'd only have about 15% of our membership signed up. And so it's been really good in pulling that forward. And it really will help us as a business. But I do know that for some portion of members, It was frustrating to see that. And some even felt like we were being deceptive, that we just did that without their knowing. We certainly didn't look at it that way. And anybody who doesn't want their license, we immediately refund their money.
Yeah. Going back to, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but go back to why we're in the Olympic Center, Olympic Training Center today to launch this national team, not just for Olympic disciplines. So, for instance, cyclocross is part of this, even though it's not an Olympic sport. What is the how much do those Olympic medals and sort of the dollars that follow from that trump funding for a sport like cyclocross from USA Cycling? You know, what's the weight given there?
Well, there's no direct calculus. It's not as though a certain Olympic medal is worth a certain amount. We can allocate that. It's more complicated. But the reality is the USOC, which is our single biggest source of funding, although our foundation is close behind, they care about Olympic medals.
Right.
That is their. That's
I think
why
that was
they exist.
More accurately what I was sort of
and
getting
and
at.
And so absolutely that means that the resources that we have available to those sports that can result in an Olympic medal is more. But we have other sources of funding as well, we do have our foundation, our generous donors, and they just care about excellence in any discipline. Is basically what they tell me. Olympic medals are cool because that is an amazing, exciting thing to be a part of. But they are equally excited about world championship medals in cyclocross if we are at a point that we can do that. And we are. And then we also have sponsorships, and we also use a small portion of money that we generate from our other operations, whether it's permitting, licenses, merchandise sales as well. And so we have other sources of revenue which aren't quite so tied to Olympic medals, which is why we are able to fund some cyclocross programs. And we do have cyclocross members on the USA Cycling National team because we are able to allocate those. But it is unavoidable reality that the Olympic medals via the USOC is something that is a much larger source of revenue. And so what we can allocate to cyclocross is necessarily going to be less. But it's non-zero.
Yeah, and it is possible, and it is in the criteria that was rolled out for this national team from the gold, silver, and bronze. And there are, as I said, four members. And,
I think there'll be more than that by, within a short period of time.
Right, because it's things like Pan Am's was a big one. So Hyde and Katie Compton, Emma White all won Pan Am's. So I think that sort of put them almost automatically onto that national team.
I think that's right,
I asked a question and got the answer in our meeting earlier, but maybe just to circle back. The big omission there is Ellen Noble,
who
won a silver in a world championship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just, and he did for me once already, but sort of explain the reasoning behind that or why the timing didn't work out for that.
Yeah, well, basically, it's you need a starting point at some point where you start the clock of results, and the way the team developed it, the clock started post Ellen Noble's result. Now the world championships are coming, and anyone who meets the criteria of those world championships will immediately be named to the team. And, you know, this really is the launching point for the national team. And we kind of struggle with that is because there's, you know, Alan Noble's not the only world-class athlete that's not currently on the national team. You could easily think of others. But we had to start the clock at some point, and that was basically where the decision came out. And again, this is a fluid program. So as people become eligible, they'll immediately be on. And I think we're going to see, I would expect, one or two or more cyclocross athletes being named after the next World Championships. So that's basically what it is. We needed to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked, you know, about the USA Cycling Foundation and the funding that goes towards cyclocross there, which is great. The thing that I've always struggled with, and it's mainly with the World's team, and I know it becomes even a bigger challenge now because there are more World's athletes. We have a U23 women's team, mm-hmm. so it's going to continue to grow. Hopefully someday we'll have a U23 junior, I mean, not U23, a junior women's team as well.
Right.
It's there's something about having these, what we would consider world-class athletes, having to fund their own way
yep.
for their world championships. And I
get it.
I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you can understand the challenge.
Sure.
We have
completely
fixed resources, and how do you allocate that? And one thing we don't want to do is trim the team back because we don't have the resources to fully fund everybody. We've made the decision. We'll keep the team large, and we actually send the largest team to cyclocross worlds of any country in the world. Most other countries have a more rigorous approach of saying, if you're medal capable, we'll fund you. If you're not, you're out. You're not even on the team.
Right. I think
the
biggest story there, like Ireland, for instance, but they don't send anybody. They're like, nobody has met the requirements.
Yes,
we're
yes.
not sending anybody.
And that's a valid way to view the world. And I understand that. And I respect those administrators that make those decisions to do that. We've chosen not to do that. We're saying that, you know, we would like people to compete. And if they are willing to fund some portion of it, let's let them raise the money and do it. We wish we could fund more people. Some we do. If you meet the automatic criteria, you go fully funded. If you don't, it could be partially funded. And anybody who goes receives the full support and treatment of massage and mechanics, and they're not treated any differently. But it just comes down to, if we fully funded everybody, you know, a lot of these trips can easily be $2,000 to $3,000 a plane ticket. And before you know it, you bring 20, 30 people, you can do the math. You're talking about a huge chunk of change for us. We would like to be able to fund more, but we can't fund everyone. And we do it for other disciplines as well. We'll have the same challenge.
Right. I knew that, you know, we saw it, at least I saw it with the, mountain bike worlds. There are definitely some athletes there who are not able to go
a bit odd to see the richest country in the world sending somebody to an event to represent the United States of America, and they have to buy their own plane ticket. The seeming incongruity of that is obvious to me and the rest of us on the team. But for the reason that I just explained, is we are where we are.
In you know, years ago there was a kind of a private foundation that was trying to alleviate some of that. I had kind of talked about trying to do something like that as well. What I don't like about it is, or what I don't think is fair, is that there are certain cyclocross communities which are great and they have huge support, and if one of their riders you know, makes the world's team, they can do a GoFundMe and they can be mm-hmm. funded in 5 minutes, no problem. If you come from a cyclocross community that might not be as supportive, and I think that's what we kind of saw with the mountain bike, where you're not as popular a rider, maybe you're not as good on social media, whatever the case may be, then that's kind of where the decisions are being made about who can go and who's not going to be able to afford it by that ability to raise funds. So my reasoning behind that is that there needs to be some third party organization to say, hey, we'll do all the fundraising and then allocate it equally. Would that be something that there'd be pushback from USA Cycling if something like that happened? I mean, I know there's some matching now that goes on.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, look, if anybody wants to undertake a mission to provide funding for specific athletes to do things, we would encourage that. That's great. Yeah. If somebody had a chunk of money, $60,000, and they gave it to us, and they said, hey, here we've raised the $60,000 for you.
So it can be earmarked just
it
for
could.
That?
It could. I mean, if we were just given incremental money,
yeah.
I don't know that we would use that money to go buy plane tickets for all of these athletes. We would look at it and say, well, what would be the best use of this money across the entire spectrum of all disciplines and everything that we're trying to do? But if somebody wanted it specifically earmarked for this, well, we would encourage that. That'd be wonderful. We wouldn't turn that down. And we do have that. We do have things where people earmark money for specific things they care about. So if somebody wants to do it, that's great. But again, we take all the money that we can possibly raise from all the various sources, and then we make decisions to allocate it based on our objectives in view of what's right. And I'm not sure if we just had incremental money that wasn't earmarked to that we would make the decision to say, well, that's the best place to put it. We should be funding more riders to go to cyclocross worlds or mountain bike worlds or whatever. We might say, actually, what we need it for is this other thing, because that has a greater return for what we're trying to do, which is winning medals at the World Championships and the Olympics. But if anybody else particularly believes in that and wants to fund it, absolutely, by all means, that'd be terrific.
You have a discipline of cycling that wins medals at World Championships that has some of the biggest names in cycling who aren't part of the national team, downhill mountain bikers. What's the decision behind that?
Well, the downhill mountain bikers absolutely can qualify to be on the U.S. national.
They can.
They can. Okay. Yep. And but one of the things about the USA Cycling national team is you have to choose to want to be on it. And there's when we explained about the launch today, we tried to make it pretty one-sided so that an athlete would absolutely want to be a part of it. But there are certain things that we do ask from athletes in return about, using our equipment and media rights and things like that. Fairly benign and usually shouldn't interfere with people's personal requirements. But in some cases, they do. And some athletes might say, you know what, this isn't the right thing for me. The benefits that I'm getting from being on the USA Cycling national team aren't worth what I'm asked to give up. That is the case for some of the mountain bike athletes that have chosen not to. And I respect that and understand that. It is a very unique discipline for us because it is not an Olympic medals, and the support that we give is very light. And so yeah. I can understand why some athletes would say, you know what, this isn't for me. There are athletes who could qualify in downhill to be on the national team and have, but have chosen at this point not to. We would like them to be on the team, and we will work with them to try to figure out, can we make that happen? But where we are right now with the launch is we don't have those athletes choosing, and again, we respect it entirely.
We talked about this just for a second before we started recording. I think the biggest surprise for me today, and in a good way, was the addition of BMX into the Olympics, and especially with the freestyle athletes that were here. And I don't know what anybody else was expecting. I mean, I was talking to the Vital BMX guy, and he of course knows them all, and they're all great, but it was I was pleasantly surprised by their reaction to this, and sort of wanting to be in the fold of USA Cycling and also under this national team program. And it was something that I think they were pretty stoked about, just knowing that it's something that they have to continually work for, and especially with the Olympics out there. And it was kind of neat. It actually made me feel good, because I almost came in thinking that they were going to have more of a skateboarding or snowboarding attitude, that they didn't want anything part of the man in the organization. Yeah. And it really didn't seem like that was the case.
No, not at all. I had the same reaction. We've already been speaking to these athletes to know that they were, that we expected that attitude, but it's great to absolutely see it. I mean, the reality is competing for your country is a very powerful thing for people, and they really respect that. The other is that, you know, BMX freestyle is a very immature sport, and now we're coming in and we have some resources to provide them. And again, it's pretty one-sided. There's not a lot we're asking for them. We're basically showing up saying, how can we help you guys get better? We're here if you want us. We have high performance resources. We have anything from nutrition to weight training. We can help fund you to go to events. We can provide you a coach. All these resources, and there's very little we're asking in return. Some, but it's pretty light. And so for them, it's kind of like, wow, there's somebody here who's trying to help us, and we get to represent the United States. They've embraced it wholeheartedly, and it has been really fun to see. I mean, they're some just look like kids in candy shop of like wow, you mean you guys are here ready to help us to do this? We've been doing this on my own for a long time. It is fun to see and really exciting and encouraging. You know, when we saw that BMX freestyle was added to the Olympic program, we were really excited about it because we knew that Americans are top in the world, and seeing Americans on a bike at the top of the world is just really fun and thrilling. But we didn't know how they were going to respond. Would they be like some of the things we've heard about snowboarding, where there's a bit of, will this change our culture? Is this really a good thing for the sport? This particular class of athletes have embraced it wholeheartedly, and I'm thrilled about that.
Yeah. So, you know, perfect world, where do you see this national team program down the road, like 1 year, 5 years? You know, what's the expectation out of this for the growth?
Well, I hope this is a concept that proves to have all the benefits we believe will have will actually come to fruition, and that this becomes an enduring tradition for USA Cycling, that this is something that is around indefinitely, that we have a formal national team that provides certain benefits to athletes, and athletes know how to get on it, and they aspire to be on it, and it's a positive thing. I don't know what the right number of athletes should be. I think it does need to remain really the elite cadre of those who are really at the very top of the sport. That really is what it's meant to be. I'd like to see it bigger because we have more athletes who are at the very top of the sport. That would be a good thing. But we'll see how it evolves. I think probably the number one aspiration I have is that it truly is beneficial to athletes. Fans truly do find it a cool designation that they care about that, and they're able to follow athletes. And people in the pipeline want to be a part of it. You have kids aspiring, I would like to be a national team athlete at some point. That's what I'd like to see first and foremost. If secondarily, that also helped improve the whole pipeline and our ability to support athletes, and we had more people qualifying for it, and then we had a 100-person national team, that would be great. But it remains to be seen. It was interesting to me how big the team was actually when it was launched. That we have that many people who are already at the very top, and the standard that's required is that you are competing at things like World Cups, World Championships, in the Olympics, and finishing in the top five. That it really is the creme de la creme, and we have 51 athletes that have qualified for now, and I expect we'll probably put on another half a dozen through the course of this year. And we're talking about 60 American athletes. That's pretty cool. It shows the depth of American cycling.
Yeah, I would be remiss if I did not finish with this question. What's the parking situation going to be like at Reno?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer for that yet, but I can tell you the challenges that we faced in the past are on the forefront of Chuck Hodges' mind, who's in charge of making these events great, both for fans and participants. And we know that parking is a huge driver of the experience for the attendees. On the other hand, you probably know we partner with local organizing committees, and they often dictate these policies, have sources of revenue they need to get their return. So it's kind of complicated. But I know that was a loaded question, tongue in cheek. But it's we actually take it quite seriously because it bums us out when we hold a fantastic event and then we upset everybody over parking. That's kind of a big miss that bums us out.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk.
Yeah, it was great to be here. Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
All right, there it is. Episode 101 in the books. Thank you to Derek Bouchard Hall for taking the time to chat with us. If you want to see more about the national team rollout and some observations I have about cyclocross's role in the national team, and also have some video of Derek and also some of the other leadership at USA Cycling explaining the program, you can go to cxairs.com. It should be right up there on the front page. Click on the video. Give it a look. Also, check out everything else at youtube.com/CXHairs. Subscribe to that channel. We're going to have a lot more videos coming up with nationals. Speaking of nationals, still time to register. You can get in there. I'd love to see you all out there at CX Nats in Reno. They are big supporters of the show, as you know now, after hearing our contest giveaway. And we want everybody to go out there and have fun and hopefully the snow. Happy New Year. We'll chat with everyone soon. 405 CX Airs. CX Airs at, wait, feedback at CXairs.com. That's how you can get in touch. Follow at CX Airs on Instagram and Twitter. And see you in 2018.